This show furnished by Red Pill Medical.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda
to give you the truth about medical and political controversies, this is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
God, I love that song. I'm gonna let it play for a minute. This is my new intro. I was in Las Vegas taking my mom to the Michael Jackson show about a month ago. The Cirque du Soleil show is a fantastic show. And when this song came on, it made me realize this is what my show is about, right? That we bring up things every single week that you don't hear on the mainstream. And the bottom line is that they really don't care about us because we so often don't get the truth. You know, I try very hard to listen to talk radio during the week when I'm driving around or whatever. And it's very difficult because it's actually painful. Here's what I mean. There's a lot of junk food radio on, but some of the shows that have some of the big names, some of the syndicated guys that you all know who I'm talking about, the problem that I see is that when your basic information is flawed or a lie, then everything that goes after that, even if you mean it, is a lie. So let me explain. If you're taught that a certain medication is good for you, and you don't know that that medication has had all kinds of side effects, that that medication had suppressed information to get it on the market in the first place. As a health provider or a doctor, you're going to prescribe that medication with good faith because you think you're helping the patient. There's no different than when I hear the shows and the reporters on mainstream media that report on things and have discussions on information that's just simply not true. I go back to bin Laden years ago. I know this is old news, but I still am amazed that when he was supposedly or allegedly killed, the entire nation just took President Obama's word for it. We had no real proof. Navy SEALs died after that mysteriously. No body, no pictures. We didn't want to offend the Nation of Islam or whatever, even though we had just killed, I shouldn't say the Nation of Islam, but we didn't want to offend certain terror groups, I guess, because we'd killed bin Laden. And I always kept saying, how do we know we really killed him? Because there was reports that he had already died. There's reports that he's still alive. But my point is that I see this all the time where we're sort of told something and people just take it as the gospel without looking or asking any deeper questions. And that's one of the reasons I love late night radio. I love Saturday nights here with you because the callers are just smarter. You call the people listening to this show, listening at night, listening to Coast, listening to Caravan at Midnight with John B. Wells, listening to these type of shows, you guys are just more awake. You are red-pilled and you're not taking what the mainstream tells you as gospel. You're looking deeper. So that's what I want to hear. That's why I want to hear from you guys, because you make this happen, because your thirst for truth and knowledge is why we're here every week. So enough of that. I just wanted to tell you, this is why I love doing this show at nighttime on Saturday, because we get to talk about whatever we need to talk about, to tell you things that you're never going to hear during the week. And that's going to continue tonight. Tonight, we're going to cover a couple things. We're going to cover some Black Lives Matter and issues and some police brutality issues. I'm going to tell you some stories that's happened to me, because if you have not heard me before, if you've not seen me before, I've got news for you. I am African-American myself, and I've had my own experiences. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that a little bit later in the show. And we're going to talk about what maybe are the roots behind Black Lives Matter that a lot of the members themselves may not know. And this is a lead-in because we are going to have a future show here in a few weeks. We're actually going to have in studio some police and some Black Lives Matters in the same studio. So tonight I'll get some additional questions from you, the people that are listening to that to the show, to ask them when they're here. So I want to start off, we have a couple guests tonight. I want to start off, the first guest is amazing, and his name is Jason Kristoff. And Jason really has a great way of looking at the way our society is running and the way that people do things and react to things based on mind control. And when I say mind control, I don't want you to get turned off and think this is we're going to do a conspiracy show, although we've done that before, and we're talking about MK Ultra and all that. And that stuff, you know, I do believe exists, but we're talking about something a little bit more subtle, a little bit more pervasive throughout the whole population and how it relates to everything that's going on in our society. He's written thousands of articles on health. He is on Facebook all the time talking about all things that matter in our society. His website is jchristoff.com. That's jchristoff.com. And he's out of Canada. And Jason, are you on the air? I just want to see if you're here. Jason, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Smith, for sure. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, and you're still awake because you're 3 hours ahead of us in Canada, and it's October 1st. The year's almost up, and, you know, when I spoke to you earlier today, it was very interesting because we were relating a lot of things that's going on in our society, including some of these shootings to the way people are thinking. But I want you to tell our audience, to start off and tell our audience that how do you relate what you say is trauma-based mind control in terms of how it relates to society? Why don't you go ahead and tell our audience what you mean by that?
Well, when we were talking earlier today, a lot of people, if you mention trauma-based mind control, sometimes they will envision a zombie with their hands out, straight drooling and kind of moaning as they walk into the distance. That's not really trauma-based mind control. Trauma-based mind control is best understood if you take the very still unfortunate situation of everything we would need to know about trauma-based mind control can be found in battered woman syndrome. So what happens in a situation like that is you have an abuser and you have someone that's being abused, like a trauma victim. And very simply, the victim starts to acquiesce to the commands and the direction and the suggestions of the abuser simply because if she doesn't, the next trauma is coming. So it's all about avoiding the next trauma for the abuse victim. And a lot of the way our society is running is based on this, trauma-based model. I remember another physician I admire, he's on iHealthTube quite a bit, Dr. Michael Farley, and he was telling a story, and it's a similar story of trauma-based mind control. Dr. Farley was a pathologist. He was discovering that the cancer treatments, the radiation and chemotherapy, were actually killing the patients, and he asked if he could put the cause of death as, kind of chemotherapy poisoning, and they said if he did, he would lose his license and he would, be taken out of the field. So that's the same sort of trauma-based mind control. It's the threat against you to do something that you don't want to do. So you're no longer in control of your mind. And a lot of our society is running like this.
So you're saying that this is the way that government basically controls people? Because when we look at the fear that comes with terrorist attacks, and I've said on this program several times that people have a better chance of being kicked to death by a donkey, not once but twice, versus dying from a terror attack. Not to say that that's not a bad thing and that people aren't dying that way, but is it that every time there's an attack and everything, every time there's a problem, it's just plastered on the media 24/7. It's just ingrained in us to cause this fear, and then it makes it easier for legislation to get passed that really cuts into people's civil liberties. Is that a form of this type of mind control?
Yeah, this type of mind control, One of the unfortunate effects is that when you put someone under fear and trauma, they're really going to have their nervous system go offline. So when your nervous system goes offline, you lose the ability to judge right from wrong, and you're also going to be reflexively obedient to authority. So when our government wants to push the population in one direction or another, they have used in the past and still do use fear-based events to kind of put the population in kind of a hypnotic state, put them in a childlike state, where when someone is traumatized, it's been proven that the IQ lowers to childhood levels, and the person takes more of the role as the child, and they're always going to be looking to an authority figure to kind of table the solution to take the trauma away. So it's more of a slave-master relationship than a real free society when the society is run like that.
So is that our society? So we're not living in a free society. Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, in a free society, everybody's allowed to do the same thing everybody else is doing. It might be a good segue into the Black Lives Matter debate. What we have is a society where some people are allowed to do some things and other people are allowed to, you know, not do those. It's either everybody is allowed to carry a gun or no one's allowed to carry a gun. Everybody's allowed to shoot people or no one's allowed to shoot people. This is not the society we have. We have the idea that some people in our society can go and shoot other people. We have some people in our society can go enact thefts, you know, because they're connected to the government or they're up higher in the ruling pyramid. This is indicative and reflective of what happens when the society is still in the master-slave state.
I see. When we look at sports and entertainment, I've said for many years that I thought it was, there's nothing inherently wrong with it, but I do think when people are just obsessed by it, which a lot of people are, that it's a form of distraction from other things that may be more important in their lives. But you have a little bit different, you look at this also as a type of mind control. Can you explain what you mean by that sports can be mind control?
Yeah, it's a very common form of mind control. It's like a venting mechanism. So when you're running a society more in the slave-master structure, the slaves will experience no personal victory in their own lives. They won't experience, you know, the heroic moment. They won't experience a lot of the regular emotions that a human should experience if they're free. So what happens with the sports arena is it allows people to come in and experience emotions that they would never experience while being a slave. So there could be male bonding, victory, and it's very important for the ruling class to have these venting mechanisms so that the person can pretend they're experiencing a very fulfilling life when in reality they're doing nothing but sitting down, watching a light tuba hanging on the wall, and then going back to the job they're not enjoying the very next day. You can also see this in the film industry. Say, take a movie like Jack Reacher 2. Have you seen the trailer for Jack Reacher 2?
Yes.
Right. So you have a man that's getting screwed over by the government. He's going to take things into his own hands. He's shooting government people that are corrupt. He's taking back control of his government. He's protecting the innocent. The reason Hollywood fabricates that is because that's what you need to sedate a slave to make them think it's really happening. When you sit in a movie theater and watch a horror movie like Freddy Krueger or something like that, your body reacts. Even though there's a part of you, the conscious mind, knows that Freddy Krueger isn't real, you have a high heart rate and you have a lot of fear because your subconscious believes you're experiencing it firsthand. So if you're running more like a human farm and these slaves aren't experiencing the regular realm or regular spectrum of emotions, you have to kind of run fake emotions through their nervous system to sedate the rebellion potential that they would turn on you as the master, and they walk out of the theater sedated on an energetic level, only to return to work the very next day completely satisfied that somehow it was them that took control of the government and did away with some corruption.
See, I've heard the opposite point of view, too, where people will say that when people go to these movies and see people doing, you know, taking matters in their hands and fighting people and walking away, that there's this sense that this is the way it is. And in real society, you know, if you walk in and put, you know, punch a glass window of a car, you're probably going to break your hand. You're not going to go through it and pull the guy out of the car and beat him up like you see in the films. And you're probably going to get arrested, right? There's negative consequences. So I've heard people say that a lot of the violence we're seeing in society is because people are seeing more violence on television. They're seeing more violence in the film. So is that backfiring if we're seeing that, or do you think that's not one of the causes?
Definitely it's one of the causes, because what happens when you expose people to this kind of trauma over and over again? You have the person develop also psychopathic tendencies, because every time you see a violent act and fear or nervousness or trauma runs through the nervous system, your nervous system goes offline as an adaptation to the fear. So if your nervous system is offline, you can start lacking empathy, and you can start fine-tuning any kind of psychopathic tendencies that might be dormant inside the society. So yes, by showing people violent images over and over again, you traumatize them. And the base of trauma, the foundation of trauma-based mind control is shunting off the nervous system. So these people really don't have the ability to sense danger or not. So many people are traumatized, they're in such immediate danger right now as we talk on the phone. But they're so traumatized, they can't feel it. And even in my field of health coaching, my clients, because I know they're under trauma, they can't feel when they're full, they can't feel when they're hungry, they can't feel when they've had too much to drink, they can't feel when they're tired, because their nervous system has been taken offline by the trauma. And this is a technology that our handlers are well aware of, and they're using this technology against us to dull our nervous systems down, so we no longer even know the difference between right and wrong.
So this is on purpose, in your opinion. And you're saying also that it has to do with health, because if people are on top of all the things we just talked about, if they're not eating well, if they're not getting enough sleep, if they're not exercising, all this does more trauma to them or takes their nervous system offline, so to speak, even more?
Yeah, I mean, this is a cycle of what, you know, could be called self-sabotage. If you traumatize a person, once the threat has been mitigated and left, the trauma does come back to be processed. So someone who's traumatized, when their nervous system comes back on, sometimes they can't handle the trauma that was done to them in the first place, and they start self-medicating with alcohol or narcotics to almost pay it forward, take the baton from their abuser and become an abuser to themselves, to turn their own nervous system off so that they don't feel the pain that was done to them in the past. And so when you see so many people today, and I know American Addict and American Addict 2 address these situations where people are kind of sedating themselves en masse, let's, you know, bring in the alcohol and everything else, it gives a good indication of what we're really doing to the people in our society for them to want to go offline so much, is because reality is so harsh and so punishing that they continually need to sedate from their coffee to their junk food to their narcotics to their prescription painkillers to their alcohol at night. It's an hour-to-hour sedation buffet.
Wow. My guest tonight is Jason Kristoff. jkristoff.com is his website. If you want to call in, it's 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222, 800-ABC-KABC. We are talking about how we are being manipulated as a society. And we're also going to be covering Black Lives Matter, some issues, the recent, the 36-year-old black male that was killed just here in Pasadena on Friday. I'm going to tell you my own experiences a little bit later. I want to continue on to one other thing on this line, Jason, and that is with the school systems, because there's a lot of controversy on Common Core, which I think is a nightmare. These are my opinions. I think the public school systems have been just farms to produce people that are followers and are taught to follow directions and not think for themselves. So I'm going to ask you flat out, is the public school system a mind control mechanism?
Well, if you go back into say, the work of Charlotte Isserby or John Taylor Gatto, if you look up any of their works, they trace the history all the way back to Prussia. And this was designed to build a class, like build a workforce of non-thinkers. So Charlotte Isserby was high in the education department during the Ronald Reagan years, and the open phrase used was limited learning for lifelong labor. So the full intent was always to traumatize the children. Just by separating the children from the parents that early, there's works, I forget the author, but the name of the book is Raising the Human Plant. Kids aren't really ready to be divided from the parents until the age of 10. So children are scared and traumatized just leaving their parents, not to mention all the traumas that go before that. So now the kids are arriving at school traumatized already. Their parents are not around to protect them. So they go through that kind of abuse victim cycle where they're very acquiescing to the commands and directions of their teacher because they don't have any kind of physical defense if the teacher were to turn on. There's one adult in them. So the kids are told that if they repeat, they get good marks. If they don't comply, they're punished. All mind control-based methods are really reward and punishment systems. So the children are getting rewarded for saying exactly what they need to say. And what is the problem we have in our society today is we have people walking around unable to think because they're repeating what the next authority figure has said on the TV or on the radio, and they're not critically analyzing what's exactly happening in our society. And that's where a lot of our problems are coming from. We've lost the ability to distinguish right from wrong because we've lost the ability to think for ourselves.
So there's probably a lot of parents listening and hearing this part, and it's concerning. I'm a parent, and what would you tell people to do? Because you know a lot of people can't afford private schools, or they can't afford necessarily to do homeschooling, which I think is probably my personal opinion. I think homeschooling is the best thing to do for your children. But a lot of people just flat out can't afford that because they have to work. There's no one there. What can people do, in your opinion, to protect their children in this kind of a system?
In this kind of a system, whether it's a single parent or anybody else for that matter, because the trauma-based mind control is designed to shut the nervous system off so that your aperture gets very small and you lose the ability to judge reality. The only way to bring your nervous system back on is healthy living. So this is sort of why California seems to be a target with the forced vaccination and some other attacks, because it seems to be a leader in healthy living inside the United States. It's almost like the social engineers are targeting California specifically because their health is bringing their nervous systems back online out of the trauma, and they're trying to re-traumatize them back down into the slave state. This is personally my opinion of what's going on, say, in California and even in Florida, where healthy living is taken a lot more seriously than any other place.
Very interesting. I never thought of it that way. Very interesting. My guest tonight is Jason Kristoff, We're talking about Common Core, mind control in the schools, mind controls in our society. We're going to get to some of the police brutality issues, my own story, Black Lives Matter, and all that in a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. We'll be right back right after this break.
Why do 8 out of 10 drivers prefer Lyft over the competition? Could be that you earn up to $1,500 a week driving your own car during hours you choose. Give enough rides each week and you can keep up to 95% commission. That's right, 95%. Better yet, we'll start you off with a $500 bonus. That's right, $500 for each new Lyft driver in Los Angeles. And you'll only earn more from there. Whether you're putting money toward a mortgage, saving for vacation, or just looking for a better way to earn, choose Lyft. Apply at lalyft.com. That's lalyft.com today. While you jot that down, here's another fun fact. Lyft is the only app that allows tipping, and 60% of our rides tip the driver. Because at Lyft, drivers come first. Be your own boss, pick your own schedule, and get paid weekly. Experience the difference of Lyft and pocket that $500 bonus by applying at lalyft.com today. Terms apply.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Let's talk about power. To illustrate this, allow me to tell you a story about how I moved a tow truck 25 miles using only my index finger. I was stranded with a flat tire. I opened the GEICO app. Then, with a few taps of my finger, I beckoned emergency roadside assistance and a tow truck to my car. I invite you all to unleash the full potential of your fingertips with the GEICO app. Thank you.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
I'm a T-bone man with a T-bone plan for a thick and juicy T-bone steak from Norm's, cooked to perfection. Starting at $12.99 with a soup and salad for a limited time only. For flavor that's down to the bone delicious, it's the Norm. Normsrestaurants.com, open 24/7.
If you could quickly and painlessly clear your psoriasis or vitiligo, Would you?
No matter how big the psoriasis is, no matter how small the psoriasis, we can help you.
Ashley is a clinical specialist for XTRAC, the amazing in-office treatment for psoriasis and vitiligo that's clinically proven to show immediate results with up to 95% clearance.
What my patients love most about the XTRAC treatments is it's safe, it's FDA cleared, and they're seeing results very quickly.
End the embarrassing, painful patches and discoloration with XTRAC. There's no medications, no topical ointments, and virtually no side effects. XTRAC uses light to transform your skin and change your life. It's covered by all major insurances and Medicare, and we'll help you find a doctor close by.
I love what I do. I love coming in every day and making a difference in patients' lives. It's amazing.
Call now to live XTRAC clear. Call 800-624-1753. That's 800-624-1753. 800-624-1753. Or visit xtracradio.com. Qualified patients, certain restrictions apply.
Hey! Are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP and you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
Are you tired of the old bait and switch when you're buying auto insurance online? May I interest you in a conversation with an actual human being regarding your insurance needs? If so, call HVH Insurance Services at 888-498-4495. HVH Insurance specializes in auto, home, and business insurance. For honesty, integrity, and a personal relationship with your broker, pick up the phone today and call HVH at 888-498-4495 or log on to hvhins.com. That's hvhins.com.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And I am back, and my guest tonight is Jason Kristoff. I'm going to be bringing on Sasha Nezev here in a few minutes, in addition to Jason, because we're going to switch over in a little bit and talk about some of these more recent police brutality incidents, the one that just took place in Pasadena and my own experiences. But I think it's important we continue in this line for a little bit longer, Jason. When we left, we were talking about the mind control that's going on in our society, including public school systems, Common Core. What about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? What is that about? I mean, do you think that that is all roses and cookies, or is there something more sinister going on with that?
Well, just like with trauma-based mind control, it throws the nervous system off. If you want to awaken, you get healthy, the nervous system will come back on. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they're part of a strategy where they're trying to destroy the brains of children. So that coming back online is not even an option. So if you want to traumatize someone and dominate them and kind of make them your slave so that they're reflexively obedient to you, you either have to put the beat down on them on a regular basis so that their nervous system is permanently offline. And, you know, that's the battered woman syndrome. The connection there is a lot of times the woman gets violent enough where her nerves do come back online and she kills her abuser. And so you can either, to traumatize and dominate someone in this form of governance, you can traumatize them over and over again so that their nervous system always stays in a numbed state, because that's what happens when you traumatize someone, the nervous system retracts. What this foundation is doing with their medical toxins that they're spreading all over the world, they're trying to make sure that that's not even an option for some children, that their nervous system is actually destroyed and that there's no chance it'll ever come back online to attack the abuser.
So you think that, so we're talking about vaccinations and things of that nature that are destroying minds of the young.
Yeah, correct. And a lot of people will have a hard time understanding. This is a very old and ancient ritual of governance. It can go all the way back to Aztec sacrifices on the altar. And a lot of people will think that's in no way connected to our society today. But it's an old strategy, very ancient strategy to traumatize. And this is using, you know, the word is pharmakia. You're going at the nervous system again to either destroy it or throw it into trauma as well. Because trauma is not just me hitting you with the back of my hand. Anything that puts the body in fear creates the retraction of the nervous system. So if I poison you with either an injectable toxin or an oral toxin, I'm still taking your nervous system offline, making sure that your whole soul doesn't work when you're traumatized. You're not a fully integrated human being capable of deciding right from wrong, and you're always in that child IQ state. You're always in that looking for an authority figure or a daddy figure to solve your problem. It's a way to make adults act and behave like children for life by continually traumatizing them in one way or another. Physical trauma. If you watch CNN, mm-hmm. you're traumatized.
Right. Well, all these new, you know, it's frustrating to me personally, because I think a lot of people, they hear this kind of information and they sort of like just sort of shake it off like it's not a big deal or it's being overstated. But if people really understand what's happening to them, and this is one reason it's so difficult to defeat, because it's like a slow virus. When things are happening to people over time, it's sort of insidious, and they don't realize that they're losing their civil liberties. They don't realize that they're being controlled. They don't realize, you know, why am I eating at this fast food restaurant, or why am I doing this? Because of the, it's almost subliminal at this point, the things that are sort of controlling people. And it's when people sort of get away from this, go out into nature, sort of disconnect, and as you say, their nervous system comes back online, that people can really see what they're capable of. And I just think it's the worst of it is when you see this being done to children, where they're getting crushed. Because for a lot of adults, it gets to a point where maybe it's too late, but children, they're so creative, they're so innocent, and when you see them getting crushed, it's really difficult to deal with. I want to turn this a little bit and sort of see if we can relate it to some of the things that's going on with the police brutality. So, Jason, I want to describe something, and I want you to tell me if I'm on base with this, because I think that if you talk to any black person that's probably over the age of 25, 30, they'll tell you that way before, or I should say older, because if you go back 15, 20 years before everybody had a cell phone with a camera, this stuff's been going on forever. That's what you hear from anybody that lives in the black community. There's a black person. They'll say this police stuff has been going on forever. It's just now getting caught on camera. But what I think is, because it is getting caught on camera, it's being politicized, and because we're getting shown the videos over and over and over again, this is a form of trauma. And then what happens is it sensitizes people on both sides, the police and the people that are afraid they're going to be brutalized by the police. So I was talking to Kelly in the green room before the show. I said, look, at this point, it's like if you have a police officer pull you over and you're a black person, they may be just telling you there's something dragging your car drives or your lights are out, but you're on edge before they even come up to the car, and they may be on edge. And isn't this just a recipe for more violence? And isn't this a recipe to just divide us more? Is this a form of mind control?
There's definitely going to be, if anybody is, they're going to be hyper-vigilant at this point. And when you're traumatized, and like you just described, there's people traumatized in the car getting pulled over, and potentially the police officer is approaching the car traumatized. This opens the inhibition pathway to what's called the frontal cortex at the front of the brain, and it's the violent, very irrational part. So these sort of things, as the as the trauma, fear, and panic are put into both parties, these sorts of incidents could increase because of the way the mind works and reacts to fear. This is not going to be good. But these people, I know we might talk about George Soros and all this escalation, is sort of a reflection of the inner work we're not doing as human beings.
What do you mean by that?
There's no way we're going to clean up the outer world until we clean up the inner world. In the way we've been taught, we're always looking outside in the physical realm. But the physical realm is a reflection of the inside of all of us. It's a composite reality of all our ideas. So what we really need to do is get healthy. Again, that's where we can get our nervous systems back online and see the true lay of the land. I'm not saying everybody should go out and start juicing and all this stuff is going to go away. But doing the inner work and discovering one's selfhood can really go a long way. This is the kind of solution. We got to start putting real food in our mouth so that our brains work in a real way so that we can table real solutions to this. Because if we have polluted minds and, you know, psychic junkyards trying to produce solutions for these problems, you just know it's not going to get better, and you just know that's the agenda.
Right. Well, I want to tell the audience my own personal story here about my run-ins with the police. My run-ins with the police doesn't sound quite right, but again, I'm an African American doctor and black man, and I used to, about 7 or 8 years ago, it's a little less than that, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I had a CL600 black Mercedes, black on black, tinted windows, and I live in Redondo Beach, where the black population is a decimal point. It is less than point, I think it's 0.2%, and I know the guy that moved out to bring it to 0.2%. It's that low. So a lot of times when I was coming home at night, I would get stopped all the time just trying to go home, and it usually went like they would license and registration, and then look at me a little bit, whatever. And then once they type it in, they see I live here and I'm a doctor, then they'd be friendly to me. And that's the way it usually was. But there was this one incident that occurred in broad daylight in El Segundo. And I was in scrubs. I usually drive an SUV during the day, but it was in the shop. So I was driving this Mercedes, which I have since gotten rid of. And 10:30 in the morning, I get pulled over by this an Asian cop that was on a motorcycle. He pulls me over, doesn't tell me why, comes in my car, very rude, says he wants to see my license registration, which I give to him. He's back in his squad car for 10 minutes. I don't know what's going on. He comes back, and he tells me to step out of the car. I get out of the car. He goes, I need to search your car. And I ask him why. He says, and he tells me because he has suspicion there's things in the car. I'm like, why? And I'm in full-on scrubs. And my scrub top says Gregory A. Smith, MD, and it's 10:30 in the morning. So I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I've been taught, you know, my parents taught me, just always do what the police say, even if they're being inappropriate, because you can sue later, but don't get shot. So I said, fine, if you want to search the car, you can search the car. So I tried to explain to him that the trunk in this car was sort of a weird opening. He told me to sit on the curb. He struggled. Then he tells me to come up, open the trunk. Nothing but charts and things in there. So he tells me to sit back in the car. He goes back to his squad car. Another 10 minutes, just typing and looking. I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm running late. He comes back, and he tells me to step out of the car again. He says, you know something? There's a warrant out for your arrest. And so I looked at him, and I literally started laughing. I said, why is there a warrant for my... And he told me he doesn't know, but the warrant is coming from Redondo Beach. And if he wanted to, he could arrest me right now. And I told him, I said, you can arrest me if you want. I said, but we'll get to the bottom of this. I said, I'm not going to argue with you. So then he says, you know, I'm not going to arrest you, but I'm going to give you tickets. So he gave me a ticket for speeding, which I told him was ridiculous, because it was, if anyone's driven going towards LAX on the Pacific Coast Highway, it's very difficult. There's cars everywhere. So then he gave me a ticket for my license plate. My license plate said Pain MD1 for Pain Doctor 1. He said, this license plate doesn't match this car. And I said, there's an explanation for that. I said, I had another Mercedes that I traded in for this one, And the dealer put that plate on and said that they had made, you know, it was going to get fixed or whatever. They put it on temporarily. He says, well, the plate doesn't match, and you may have stolen this car. So I said, well, the VIN number matches me, and the license plate matches me. So obviously I didn't steal the car. So then I kid you not, he stands back. He says, you know what I think about you? And I said, what? He says, I think you have that license plate and you have that car because you just want to be cool. And this is literally what he said to me. And at this point, I'm like, this is harassment. So I didn't get shot. I didn't get tasered. But I can tell you that I've been pulled over a dozen times I can remember in the last 10 years just for what we call DWB, driving while black. So I want to, I know Sasha is on the line, and Jason, you're still on the line. I want to move on to something here that I think is related. And just this past Friday, we had another 36-year-old black male that got tasered to death in Pasadena, and apparently he was holding a knife and a fire extinguisher. I don't understand why, but ironically, he called the police, and I guess he was a bipolar, manic depressive, was out of medication. There was some mental illness going on here, and the police arrived and tasered him to death. Now, we have seen this happen over and over and over again. And then we see the Black Lives Matter movement and all this controversy back and forth. And so, Sasha, I want to bring you on. Are you there, Sasha? Are you on the line? You there?
Yes, I'm there. Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I want to talk about this for a minute because, and Sasha Nezev is the director of American Addict 1 and 2, and directed other great films, and very insightful on some of these issues, and he's appeared on RT and other programs. So, Sasha, I want you to talk about the link between George Soros and Black Lives Matter.
Well, before I do that, I'd like to talk a little bit about this, you know, militaristic mentality that's pervasive in our culture. I think what stems from this sort of violence from our police department is the militarization of our police force. And why is that? I mean, if you look at, you know, the fact that we've been at war for about 15 years and we have an entirely militaristic culture. I mean, we have this mindset that is all pervasive, and it's coming home. It's not just, you know, international. It's coming from the Middle East. Look at our culture. Look at it, how it lends itself to our sporting events. I mean, you know, the Pentagon just admitted that they pay the NFL money to be patriotic. You know, the term patriotic and nationalistic is a, you know, variant. You could switch it on one side. Nationalism is
Pentagon paid the NFL?
Yeah. This came out, I think, a couple weeks ago. A week ago. And this is mainstream press. They're paying the NFL to be patriotic. That's the word they use. Now, like I said, it's all a matter of semantics. If you use the word nationalistic, that's sort of a negative connotation. You know, Vladimir Putin is nationalistic. Bashar al-Assad is nationalistic. Our enemies are nationalistic, but we're patriotic. So they use the word patriotic. And that's why when you see these lavish, you know, pregame, you know, ceremonies, ritualistic, I mean, if you look into the psychology of that, you know, based on your previous guest, who I don't know if he's on right now, but if you just look at that, I mean, you have an entire American flag draped across the entire football field, the military jets. So, you know, and then you look at the sport of football itself. I mean, it's very violent, has militaristic components. You know, they're all wearing helmets. You know, they're calling plays. You have to attack enemy territory. This is very subtle, but it plays into this. So what I'm saying is, we have a military mindset that's all pervasive in our culture. It starts with the fact that we are a war culture. We've been at war 15 years. There's no end in sight. We sort of got accustomed to the fact that torture goes on. Look at our films. Look at our television series, our movies, Hollywood. We just sort of embrace that. We glorify that, and that's coming back to the police. A lot of most of these police officers served in the military, and they're coming back. And they have that mindset, and you know, a lot of this is now. So I think that's the primary reason why why we're seeing this violence, this escalation. That's not just, I think African Americans, absolutely, if you look at the history, I mean, without doubt, have been targeted, you know, and have been profiled. However, this is going on rampantly across the entire country. There was a homeless man, I think, a year ago, 2 years ago, in Fullerton that was beat to death, a white guy, and he was, he did nothing. The cops walked out. There's a big community uproar here in Fullerton. People were just, you know, there was an organized movement to, you know, remove these officers, and it was a really great thing. But again, we're not collectively addressing the issue. You're sort of segmenting and dividing it into, you know, different brackets and, you know, black, this is white. This is where Soros comes in. So I'm sorry if I'm giving a little, you know, historical reference to. I wanted to just mention the part that we have this militaristic mindset, which is why I think that we're so violent. I travel a lot to Europe. I have a production company. I travel other countries. You'll go days without seeing police. I mean, days. And I'm talking at events. I mean, in driving, I mean, in a week, you can maybe see two, three police cars or two, three, you know, it's just completely different. But again, we're accustomed to this here because we've been trained, we've been engineered to see this. It's so we have a militarization of our police. Now, going to George Soros. George Soros is if you look at the guy, I mean, he's actually a criminal. He's been convicted of insider trading. In 2002 in France, he made his money by shorting the British sterling, by, you know, shorting the British pound on the market. He's been accused of manipulating currencies in several countries. I mean, the guy's a criminal. So when you see him backing these sort of philanthropic organizations and where he wants to help people out, he serves as a mechanism for greater powers and the entire purpose of George Soros is to divide countries, and he's done this with all his, he's been behind all these color revolutions in Eastern Europe, everywhere from Yugoslavia to Ukraine most recently, and he's also very instrumental in the Arab Springs, and what he does, now of course, America is different than these countries, we're a first world nation, the entire purpose of those was to destabilize it, and to put in, you know, sort of puppet leaders that serve the interests of the political establishment, the financial establishment, the corporate establishment. But what it does here is it divides us, and it really does not allow, if you look at the history of our country, what they've always wanted to prevent is for us to be collectively unified in identifying the problems and addressing these issues as one people. You know, this is an issue of this militarization of our police department. We are being treated badly. And yes, African Americans are probably most definitely being singled out, but so are other people. So as one union, we address these collectively and we approach the problem collectively and we identify. But
Sash, let me just say, we would be more effective if we approach it collectively. But I think that when you split people and it's us against them, it's black against white, it's Hispanic, it's all these different groups infighting, you can't really target the actual real enemy. Now, I want to stop you for a second because we're up against a break here in a minute, but my guest tonight is both Jason Kristoff and Sasha Nezef. They're both on tonight. We're talking about, Sasha, before you came on, talking about just the society in whole being mind-controlled. And now segueing into this, the whole Black Lives Matter, the police brutality, and how it's affecting us. If you want to call in tonight, we are here live. It is 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222, 800-ABC-KABC. You can also email at painmd2012@gmail.com. That's painmd2012@gmail.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to go really deep into these issues. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back.
Truth, Medicine, and Politics was a sponsored show, and the views expressed on the show were solely that of the host, which KABC does not necessarily agree with or endorse.
This show furnished by Red Pill Medical.